Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call. We're glad that you've joined us today. And I'm going to introduce myself as Bob Griswold. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Mary Griswold.
Damon King.
Alan Harrop.
Diane Rufino.
Thank you. And Mary, I'm going to turn it over to you then.
I think the topic of the week this week was the indictment of Donald Trump. It was historic in many ways. A former president has never been indicted. And it was wall-to-wall coverage on some stations. And it just so happened that the indictment happened the day that the news came out that there were audio tapes of dealings between Joe and Hunter Biden and Burisma. And somehow, the major networks didn't pick up on that story. And I'm going to ask, I don't claim to understand laws or anything else, so I'm going to pick on Diane and ask for her take on this.
I'm going to interrupt for just a second. What do laws have to do with it?
Well,
I am bound by a rule of law, right?
You are.
And right, you know, you were bringing up some of the statutes when I got here, and I was saying, well, I don't know. I had to look them up to see how they've been codified, because in the indictment, they reference certain laws. And if they're talking about laws like the Presidential Records Act or something like that, that's not identified in the indictment. But the Espionage Act is. And I did not know it by the codified name. So this is the first case where they're using the Espionage Act as a reason to go after a president and bring him down. So the Espionage Act is from 1917. It's codified as 18 U.S.C. Section 793. And the indictment is, Trump is charged with 37 counts, all related to classified documents that he removed from the White House to his new residence his residence in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. And so this is historic, and this is happening because he is, in my opinion, because he is the front runner for the 2020 election.
And 24
election. and Biden has challenged, right? He's announced that he's going to run again. Well, if Trump is out of the picture, maybe Biden will be reelected. Sad to think, horrific as it may be. But they, this is their way of, again, harassing him, going after him, making his life miserable, showing people that he's a piece of garbage, he's, you know, he's evil.
So, but yet in everything that they're doing, it's raising his popularity.
Yeah, and maybe if there's a God in this universe, maybe he's doing that. Maybe he's putting that evil, making them so driven by evil that it benefits Trump. And I'm hoping that happens. But I feel so sorry for this guy that he has to be tormented like this. And what I'm hoping is he has to eventually go to the Supreme Court and have them throw this out. And in my mind, you know, I'm looking at a court that's packed with more conservative judges, justices than not conservative, and they're going to take a look and they're going to say, "Gee, Donald Trump was a really good president. He has done a whole lot of good things for the country." And then Biden comes in, undoes it, and then the country goes to poop. Right? It goes to, you know, the S word. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, "Wow, the Democrats must be really, really bad to weaponize the federal government against this man." Because he has a good chance, very good chance of getting into office again and straightening our country out. So I'm hoping that's what's going through their mind. And you can't use laws like this to keep a good man out of office.
Well,
especially he's proven himself, right?
I want to go back to some history, and I don't know if everyone is familiar about this. The first time that Barack Obama ran for the Senate, he was running against someone who had been divorced. And he got a hold of the supposedly sealed divorce records. and release them. And the guy was humiliated out of the race, and that's how Obama won his initial Senate seat. So this is not a new tactic used by the Democrats.
Yeah, but this is in a court of law, right? They're taking this, they're using the government, they're using the FBI, they're using Department of Justice, they're using the National Archives.
They're misusing.
Yes, yeah. So that's what I mean when I said they're weaponizing government against a private citizen at this point,
and
a candidate.
It's
terrible.
He must really be a threat for them to go to this level.
Yeah.
No, I would ask a really, really tangential question. If you're using the FBI and you're using the archives and you're using, what about that Hatch Act? The Hatch Act says you can't politic from a government position. So, all of these acts seem as if they're politicking. Somebody ought to bring that up.
Like I said, they're weaponizing these statutes against a good man. And anybody can jump in if they want. But they could have used this act against Hillary Clinton. They could have used it against Barack. They could have used it Bill Clinton, right? Presidents have gone back, if you go, back in time, they've all taken records with them, and that's under the Presidential, I think, Records Act.
Yes.
Right? They have ownership of their...
Well, you look back at what went on with the secret server with Hillary, and Donald Trump as president chose to leave that alone and to let her go her way. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was probably actually the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But looking at this now, obviously reciprocation didn't happen.
Yeah,
now you were...
Well, I want to go back to the Hatch Act. It was kind of strange when I read just the first couple of lines of these articles about the violation of whatever her name is in the White House press secretary. I don't even like to call her name because I hadn't seen anybody really so. Anyway... Wouldn't that apply to Biden the day that he stood up with the red background lit up and he came out and he called mega MAGA Republicans and we were going to tear apart the country and all of these things? Wouldn't that Hatch Act apply to that too? Because he did the same thing she's been doing.
Well,
but how
was,
come it was never mentioned when that guy did the same thing?
The harder thing to understand is he is not a government employee. He's an elected individual. And that may be, I'm not sure exactly how the...
But the other part of that, too, was that was supposed to be a presidential speech, not a political speech. And it was divisive. It divided the country. It did not bring us together in any way, shape, or form. That was supposed to be, your president is addressing the country and... that's nice. And it was so divisive and so weird.
You remember the content of all of that.
Yeah, it was awful.
We were going to destroy the country. We were tearing the country up and keeping it divided.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if you look at it from the standpoint of the people, I think that's what it's going to come down to. Are there enough of the American people at a point where they will no longer tolerate this? All the particulars of the indictment, when they bring an entire agency, and this guy, Jack Smith, prosecutor, investigator, and he had unlimited resources to go after. They can find something on anybody.
Yeah.
If you look deep enough, hard enough, you reinterpret things, you analyze them from a different perspective. They even got through his lawyer... client privilege.
Yes.
They debased that.
Yes. Yeah,
because of this particular charge of obstructing justice. So they got through that. But the point is, I think the question for us in our country at this point is, are there enough American people who can see through this? If there isn't, the country's over.
Yeah.
Because this will continue to happen. Any administration in power will then use the government agencies like they do in some of these other countries to stay in power. So that's what it boils down to.
Well, then we're a full-blown tyranny. If we have to fear the government and what the government can do, because they're coming after citizens, they're using trumped-up charges.
The best way for the people to stop this, in my opinion, and this is, you know, pie in the sky, hope, all of the candidates running for president on the Republican side should all drop out and support Trump. Then all of the people who are potential voters that are Republicans, they go out and vote in an overwhelming number so that if the Democrats find out that this will never work, and the country won't put up with it. That's the only way of stopping this. But if they continue to, you know, fight against Trump, you got, you know, Chris Christie coming in the race, he's there just attacking Trump. He's an attack dog against Trump. That's all he is. He might as well just put a D on his hat and just tell what it is. But it's going to take something extreme to stop this, because this is an extreme act.
This is an extreme act that threatens the existence of our country as we've known it.
Yeah. And if they're going to bring a gun to a fight, you got to bring a gun. You can't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah. You talked about Jack Smith, which is a special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland. And he was appointed. He is a known Trump hater. He is appointed. He's a zealot and a Trump hater. So he knew what he was doing, and he's going to do it. He's gone after Trump with everything he's got. And that's wrong.
Well, that's how it works right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we've been asleep too long and let the swamp become the swamp. And the swamp has been the swamp for a while.
We're going to continue this conversation in a little while. I ask you to just join as we present our sponsors, and we ask you to go and visit them and just tell them you heard about them on the CCTA Wake Up Call radio show. We'll be back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. We're going to continue this conversation. Diane, go ahead.
Yeah. So Alan was talking about we need enough Americans to be so enraged that they're going to act. And in Florida, hundreds have come out and have encircled the courthouses. And they've gone to the restaurant. I mean, Mary, you've read that. I didn't read that.
When he went to a restaurant after he was indicted,
yeah,
there were people waiting for him that prayed for him and prayed after he left.
Yeah, and he bought them all food.
Well, there's two advantages to being in Florida for him, excuse me, is number one is that I got to believe that if you pick 12 people for a jury, you will find one of those people at Florida that will not vote guilty, regardless of what the other, and where up in New York or Washington, then you could. The second ace in the hole is that being indicted does not prevent him from running.
Mm-hmm, good.
If he runs and wins, he could actually pardon himself.
Can he do that?
Which is, yes. According to Alan Dershowitz, who is a pretty... he's a liberal, but he knows about the Constitution.
Yeah,
according
does.
To him, he said that Trump could pardon himself. So
wouldn't
that be great?
Yeah.
Well, I want to mention one other thing about Florida and just an aside about Mar-a-Lago. When he put together Mar-a-Lago, he literally fought City Hall to allow Jews and black people to join Mar-a-Lago.
Really?
Up until then, all the exclusive country clubs excluded Jews and blacks.
That's terrible.
And he said, no, we're not doing it that way. And he literally fought City Hall to do it. So anytime you hear him called a racist, remember this is the guy that fought City Hall to make sure that Mar-a-Lago was open to anybody who can afford it. Of course, you have to afford it, and that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But again, his history, and I suspect the people close to him in Florida who know the things he've done appreciate that.
Yeah. Very interesting.
It is.
You talk about the Mar-a-Lago and what's happened there. I mean, he has also greatly enhanced the economy down there.
Yeah.
What's our next topic?
I want to talk about the Dutch farmers.
Okay.
Because this is something that will eventually impact us. Now, if you remember, a few months ago, there were protests in the Netherlands by the Dutch farmers. And they were protesting that the government was trying to take over their farmland. And the government is trying to take over their farmland in the name of climate change. The government of the Netherlands has launched its program for buying out farms that do not comply with the EU's Natura 2000 scheme that's supposed to protect the environment. And they will buy out approximately 3,000 privately owned farms which are deemed to emit too much nitrogen. And they're talking about killing... Now, wait a minute, I don't have the numbers right now. But I want to point out that the Netherlands is the EU's largest exporter of meat and one of the largest dairy exporters in the world. Now, the farmers are protesting because they're being put out of business. But this is all part of the EU's climate change program.
Do we know how they're putting out too much nitrogen?
Because they have animals.
Because they have animals.
They pass gas.
You know, I'm going to roll time back for just a few minutes. And when we were up in Massachusetts, we were fighting Agenda 21, was it?
Yes.
And local farmers up there had their farmland, had their working farms, whatever else. Well, as they were going, either trying to sell or something to that effect, there was a Title V that said you have to have a working septic tank. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't even have a working septic tank. But a farmer with 40 or 100 acres needed to put down a sewage line to the nearest sewer connection. So he might have had to have put in a half a mile or a couple of hundred feet of sewer line. You can't do that. You
was
can't.
Was that for the animal waste?
No, that was just
for their own.
That was the human waste.
We lived on a farm for 10 years, and of course we had a our own septic system. You know, a leaching field. On your home, and that's pretty much standard for any.
And it was in balance.
Were you not in direct contact with sewer lines? You know,
yeah. And it was a balanced system.
Yeah.
No, but the idea. Underlying idea was to get the farmers off their farms and into congested cities, actually. I mean, the Obama administration and the Biden administration both have tried to pass laws that will end single-family houses. They have tried to change zoning laws so that you can't have neighborhoods like what we're used to.
And what kind of a house did Obama retire to? Right? It's how many immigrants, how many other, you know, families did he take into this huge mansion that he had?
And why
in
is
very
he
exclusive area?
Why is he right on the ocean when he keeps saying that the seas are going to rise? I mean, again, it's do as I say, not as I do.
The sad thing in the United States is we have a Supreme Court case that touches on what the government can do with regard to agriculture and land and stuff. And that was a 1942 case, Wickard v. Filburn. And it said that this farmer had to be penalized and had to pay taxes because he dared to grow corn, I think, or wheat to feed his animals.
More than his allowance,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, but it's his land. It's his land. In law school, we learned in property, if you have a piece of property, you have a bundle of property rights. Bundle. And that includes to do whatever you want on your land, use it to its utmost potential. And so, but I think this was a bad case. I think this was judicial activism because they were trying to come down on the farmers and control them to the point where they can control the prices out in the
well, they were trying to subsidize grain pricing, right. By limiting.
But he was penalized for growing, I think it was wheat, for his own purposes. It wasn't so that he's not going to go in the marketplace and buy stuff. So, got to get rid of this law, this ruling, and.
This whole issue of government overreach with our agencies is a critical fact that it's destroying our freedoms. And you can go back, again, going back history, history can teach us lessons. Back during the Great Depression, the federal government mandated the slaughter of hundreds of thousands of cattle and pigs in order to get the price up. The price had gone down. They wanted to get the price of those products up. So they required that they went into these farms, required these farmers to kill off all their livestock.
How can they do that? That's your property.
They did it because of the government has the power.
Interfering in the free market.
And the individual. And now we're seeing it with playing out with gas stoves.
Mm-hmm.
The EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, they announced, I think it was about 3 months ago, that they were going to eliminate gas stoves in the country, and I believe New York City has already done that. I think they've already moved to doing that, so you can't. It doesn't stop there. It's appliances. For example, they have the EPA has a new regulation about washing machines. They have to use one-third less water and one-third less energy than the washing machines are using now.
That's like toilet bowl.
Right, and the manufacturers are saying the only way we can do that is we're going to have to reduce the effectiveness of them, for one thing, and we're going to have to increase the price. So they estimate the price of a washing machine will go up to $300. Now, who's that going to hurt? It's not going to hurt Al Gore, or it's not going to hurt Barack Obama. It's going to hurt the average, hardworking, taxpayer American who's trying to make ends meet, and all of a sudden they can't afford to replace their appliances. Yeah, they can't.
And you notice, not, you notice these are regulations; these are not laws.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Agency overreach. These agencies have taken it upon themselves to implement these regulations that totally restrict our freedom and increase our cost of living, and they seem like they have a free hand to do whatever they want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a good case in the Supreme Court recently about the Waters of the United States Act that dealt with a section of this. And up until this case, if you had a mud puddle on your property, essentially the government could come in and declare it a wetlands and you couldn't do anything. And the case, I believe, ruled something to the impact of, you know, laws need to come from the legislature. We're going to start looking at what these regulation agencies are doing because they've gotten out of control. Mm-hmm. And I think we ought to come back with that topic.
Oh, you want to take the break early?
I want to take the break early.
I'm not ready for the break.
Well, you know, the House did vote on Tuesday to pass legislation to come against the ban on gas stoves.
Yeah. So,
yes.
Okay. We need them to belly up to the bar and do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break and again hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back. And thank you for visiting our sponsors and telling them you've heard about it on CCTA's Wake Up Call. Diane?
Okay. I'd like to talk about an article I read from Judicial Watch. And the title is Record Number of Foreigners on FBI terror watch list caught crossing into the United States via our southern border. So let's go back and look at Title 42. I keep hearing about Title 42. I finally looked it up. It was enacted by President Trump as a means to halt entries into the United States to stop the introduction of communicable diseases. It allows border agents to quickly export migrants back to Mexico or wherever they came from, and it was ended by Biden. Okay, so now they don't have to be reported. It's just like an open spigot. So while Biden administration has highlighted that immigration has dropped considerably since the termination of Title 42, a record number of suspected terrorists have been caught trying to enter the U.S. through Mexico. The number of migrants at the southwest border is markedly down over what they were prior to the end of Title 42. But in the meantime, a record number of people who appear on the Federal Bureau of Investigation's terror watch list have been apprehended by Border Patrol agents this fiscal year. In April alone, the frontline Homeland Security Agency caught 16 foreigners who appeared to be on the nation's terrorist screening database, trying to enter the country through the southern border, according to the latest government figures.
Now, you're saying they caught 16.
Yeah.
How many did they not catch?
Right. Mm-hmm. But wait till you hear the numbers. This is really mind-boggling. The database contains thousands of records that are updated daily and shared with the federal, state, local, territorial, and tribal law to ensure that individuals with links to terrorism are appropriately screened at our border. The April figure is more than the total terrorists. This is of the people caught, right? The April figure is more than the total terrorists caught in the four previous years combined, 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020 combined.
Wow.
So the Homeland Security Secretary has warned the House Oversight Committee and Homeland Security Committees, I didn't know they had more committees, are investigating how this agency is handling the elevated national security risk presented by the increasing number of aliens with terrorist ties illegally crossing over into the United States. And they say that when we withdrew from Afghan, it left a security vacuum in a region that will, I guess, would result in further terrorist enters and encounters in our southern border. So that's it.
We opened a pipeline.
Yeah.
I think that if the Republicans are smart, which that's sometimes wishful thinking, but if they are smart, they will really hit this immigration issue hard. Immigration, inflation are two of the most important topics to most people. I read there was a survey the other day. It was like 85% of all Republicans and over 60% of Democrats want something done to control the borders.
Yeah.
And Trump, in one of his recent rallies, said something I've never heard another politician say. And that is that he would be willing to introduce legislation, to get legislation introduced, that would eliminate the anchor baby issue.
Mm. Yeah.
Where anybody in this country, even if you're here illegally, if a child is born in this country, is automatically a citizen. That should have been stopped years ago. It needs to be stopped.
Yeah.
This is one of the things you got to remember about Trump. If he gets elected, he'll be his last 4 years. He will be brave enough to do things that need to be done to save this country that other people that are looking at reelected wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
And that's one of them. And deporting these illegal aliens, they ought to be rounded up and deported. And I don't care what it costs, because what it's costing us to keep them in this country is a tremendous amount of money. And it goes on and on and on. And it's got to be reversed. It can't just be slow down and stop. We've got to reverse it.
I don't think that legally they've adopted the anchor baby excuse that, you know, once you come in the country, I have a baby, well, automatically a citizen. Because that's with the 14th Amendment, the first paragraph of the 14th Amendment. And legal experts go back and forth, and really they don't believe anchor baby is a proper definition or proper interpretation of that, of the first
but
paragraph.
But it's allowed to go on is the
yeah,
point.
Yeah, they
the
don't
point
want to
is,
bring it up. That's the thing. But they should. Exactly. And I think they can settle that with this membership on the Supreme Court.
Right? If we're paying attention, we can tell that that's a strong intent that they have concerning the anchor baby.
Yeah.
How many elderly people over 50 have you seen coming across that border?
Yeah.
If you just check out all the videos and you go to a couple of the special apps like America's First Voice, and those videos where they're really right there on the scene, I can't see anybody almost apparently looking even over 30 that's coming across that border.
And then most
you know that the people who are older than that definitely want to break away if they're seeking asylum. Yeah. Why would they want to stay back and they've gone through this tyranny all these years in those countries?
They're waiting for their families to go over, become citizens, or maybe not, because
they have babies.
You know, they have babies. That's their default. They're citizens now, and then bring them over later.
Right.
And I think the Supreme Court needs to hear a case about anchor babies, and it's
also another aspect of that. That is a horrible journey to make. People over 50 probably would not survive it.
Yeah.
So that's part.
Yes,
of
but
it too.
But almost every one of the persons coming across that southern border has their cell phone fully charged. and you know, you ask idiotic questions like, you don't have any clothes, but you've got a cell phone.
Yeah.
You've got cell service.
And the clothes that they're wearing look better than what I have on half the time. Are you kidding? They don't look like people who have been roughed up in the wilderness seeking asylum.
No.
And how they protect themselves from being vetted is that they showed a snippet on the TV several days ago where they showed a pile of documents that these illegals were getting rid of. Passports, ID information.
So reusable.
They were eliminating. They didn't want to be traced.
No
so
identification.
They got rid of all their IDs, and they go there, and they can claim whoever they are, whatever they want, and wherever they want to say they come from. That's what they're doing.
They're already rigging our system.
Yes. Now, by the way, I just want to add something that came. Now, this is being recorded on Thursday. Just something that just came through in the news, and it's CBS News, but a city councilor from Mexico border city of Reynosa has been arrested at a checkpoint in Texas after Border Patrol agents found 93 pounds of cocaine in her car. So the border is a little bit more porous than we really want it to be.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how many Americans are dying every day of fentanyl?
That's a lot of snuff, you said?
Oh, dear. How many Americans are dying every day because of the fentanyl that is coming across that border?
Yeah, just like Alan was talking earlier about the cost, you know, of them coming in. Well, that's the biggest cost, the lives of Americans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, the lives of Americans. I mean, if you look at law enforcement here or whatever else, I mean, the fentanyl. How much fentanyl does it take to kill a person? No.
And we have the power to stop that, but we don't have anybody with the will. And what I mean by that is that we know where that fentanyl is coming from. We know where the chemicals are coming from. They come from China. They're being shipped to Mexico. All we need is a president that has the gumption to approach China and say, we're putting an embargo on whatever percentage of products coming in this country, from your country, until that stops. We are losing over 100,000 people a year. That's more than Korea and Vietnam combined. And that's each year. Mm-hmm. And we turn a blind eye to it. Mm-hmm. If they were coming in and gunning down our children and our citizens, we wouldn't put up with it. But they're being allowed to do this because we don't have a president
that's got the gumption to deal with China.
Because, well, now, wait a minute.
For whatever reason.
Kamala's in charge of the border.
Yeah. You know, when you say...
You had to bring that up.
When you say the president, though, and I realize the president, yes, could act universally.
Could act, okay.
But if you went back to the Vietnam era, the president didn't act. Media acted. The media was upset at what was happening in Vietnam. Now, I don't like the way that the media handled it because I'm a Vietnam era vet.
Yeah.
But I don't like the way that it was handled. But the media did their damn job, pardon my French, and they forced president's hands.
Yeah.
Now, here we have the president who won't act. Where is that media right now?
Yeah. Also, there's another aspect. Do you really think that if the Republicans or the Democrats wanted that flow to stop, it would still be there? Because the Democrats want future voters, and the Republican corporate types want cheap labor. And it's a uniparty thing. It's not, we need Congress to, you know, decide to protect the country.
The real solution is immigration reform.
Yes.
You know, and we had a lady come to our house. She's part of a construction crew. And she is an illegal immigrant. She's been one for over 12 years. Her attorney filed, and he filed. He sent the paperwork to a different state. She lost a whole lot of time, so she's back to almost starting zero. So the immigration laws must change, It has to be easier to become a citizen.
They must change, and we've got to get the media to do their job.
Yeah.
Folks, we're going to take another break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back. We're going to pass it over to Alan. You have a different
topic. Yeah, I have a topic that I think is worth addressing, and that is how the big corporations in this country are going so far to the left and becoming what we call woke, primarily reinforcing and encouraging values and standards of behavior that are complete contrast to what Western civilization's been. And that's what it's happening. And it's going to threaten to destroy our country. You have like Bud Light,
in spite of the fact that their base of beer drinkers, they knew, I mean, they had to know that those people were not LGBT people, which, by the way, the percentage of people who are transgender in this country is significantly less than 1%, okay? The number of gays is less than 4%.
Wow, it's gone up.
But yet they are using those minorities, for whatever reason, to attack the greater civilization, our culture. And that's what it is. It's not just a product that's being destroyed or whatever. It's our value system.
Yeah.
That's what's being attacked by these people. And, you know, impact on their shareholders, their profit making, and they persist. It's like Budweiser. They got all this kickback. The Bud Light sales have dropped by, what, $30 million dollars, maybe a lot more than that, gone down substantially, okay? But they reported the other day that Budweiser gave a large contribution to an LGBT group in spite of the fact that they see they're going in the wrong direction. So those things are really difficult to... difficult to put up with, and we should not put up with it.
Right. Well, we've always had the gay community with us. Right. And there's no, I don't approve of anyone attacking the gay community or mistreating them in any way.
Right.
But by the same token, I don't care what you do in the privacy of your own home, but do not shove it in my face.
Right.
Because I'll give you one example. This was insane. We were in New York one year for the Parkinson's walk because I have a niece who has Parkinson's, so we went to do the walk. And Saturday night, we went to a concert. It was a very good concert, but it was put on by the New York City Gay and Lesbian Orchestra. I didn't need that information. They could have called themselves anything. I mean, and you didn't look at the tickets when you bought them. You had no idea. You brought them back to me, and I went, oh, my, we paid for these?
and it was good.
You're supporting the agenda.
But, I mean, it was a lot of Leonard Bernstein. It was a good concert.
Good concert, but a few minutes of political stuff thrown in the middle that, again, wasn't necessary.
But, I mean, fantastic. They could have called themselves the 8th Street Orchestra or the New Yorkers, or they could have called themselves anything. But they felt the need to shove it in people's faces, and that's the problem.
Well, and it gets back to what they're trying to do with children. That's the most destructive of all, because you take children at these very young ages, and they introduce the concept of... you can be anything you want.
Yeah.
No longer God made men, God made women. You're either one or the other. So it takes the religion out of it. And it says you can be whatever you want. And then they hear that and they encourage that. Then a child could get confused, because children at that age are not capable of understanding what the outcome of this is going to be for their lives. And so therefore they get caught up in it. And then you have medical profession, these doctors that go along and prescribe these puberty-blocking drugs. To me, that's a violation of their oath to do no harm, in my opinion. They ought to be stripped of their license.
There's a meme out there, and I wanted to find it, but it's a woman just gave birth, and the father's looking at the baby, and they go, is it a boy or a girl? And... The husband says, well, let's just wait for the teacher or the administrator to tell us what it is. So, and I wanted to comment on what Alan's been talking about and what you've been talking about, is this woke community, which is less than 1% of, you know, transgenders, and then the LGBT community, which is less than 4%. What they're doing is they're undermining our sacred institutions. Our religion, our schools.
Yes, the family.
The family, yes. Everything. And even to say that we have to recognize pronouns. I mean, this is not sane. It's not sane. So There's something else I wanted to say.
Well, when you brought up that recognizing pronouns. Now, why can't I call you by name? You're offended because I call you by your name.
Yeah.
You can call yourself anything you want to call yourself.
Yeah.
If I call you by your name and you're offended, that is your problem.
That's your problem.
That's not my problem. Yeah.
I can't be bogged down knowing your what gender you feel like today and or what pronouns you want to be called and what name, you know. I get confused sometimes looking at people and I'm like, I don't know what gender this person is.
And we need to let them live their lives, but let us live our lives also.
Yeah, but part of the reason they don't let you live your life is because they want more of them.
But
grooming is the motivation. I mean, I worked in the Department of Correction for 30 years. In fact, I started the first sex offender treatment program they had. And one of the types of sex offenders we were dealing with, the pedophiles. What would pedophiles do? How would they find their victims? They would join church groups. They would join the Boy Scout leaders. They would go places where they can access children, and they would groom these kids. They would talk to them about the normalcy. You know, they would talk about these kinds of behaviors, and they would try to recruit more people to be like them. That's what they're about.
And the other part of it is this idea that overturning parents' rights to do this. Mm-hmm. Would you give a 10-year-old a pack of cigarettes? I mean, really, things are harmful to little kids, and you don't do them.
You know, I wanted to add, Alan, along with what you're saying. Now, okay, folks, I'm ancient. I'm approaching 80, okay?
You're a relic.
Okay, I'm a relic.
A very good preserved relic. Okay.
Well preserved.
If I had decided at my current age, if I've decided that I am going to be transgender, I will be transgender, and therefore I'm going to go into the girls' dressing room at some facility, whatever else. Now, number one, am I a dirty, lecherous old man?
Yes.
Or am I a protected class? Because right now they're trying to make that into that I would be a protected class.
Well, everything's possible. Everything's okay. This is where we get back to no standards in society. A civilization, a society cannot exist without firm, understood principles and values. And this is what they're undermining. So it's not just a small impact, as I would talk about the selling of the beer and all that stuff. It's really a threat to our civilization. For example, let's talk about how far the LBG people, T people, will go to protect themselves. There's a bill that was introduced this week in Michigan in the state legislature. And it was introduced by an individual who is himself an admitted bisexual. Okay, so he fits in that
somewhere.
Somewhere along. Okay, so what the bill does, it outlaws what's called conversion therapy. Conversion therapy is when, for example, as a psychologist, I have as an individual comes to me, and he says, "Well, I'm a homosexual, and I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not happy. I'm not happy with the lifestyle," and I help him change his or sexual orientation, converting him back to what we would call normal sexual behavior and so on and so forth. That's called conversion therapy. But the LGBT people, they want to stop that. So not only do they want to recruit individuals in their direction, they want to stop them from leaving that direction if they find it's unsuitable for them. So that's the extent at which they will go.
Yeah.
The question is, what extent will we go to stop it?
Yeah. New York City banned that kind of conversion treatment.
I think California did years ago.
Yeah, you can't counsel someone to go back to their original gender. You have to.
Even if they want to go back.
And, you know, we're also in the situation now, like if you look at a young child or whatever else and has a sibling, and that sibling is, somebody that's disabled or handicapped or whatever else and gets all the attention of the parent. Well, this sibling, I want to be just like that sibling to get the attention. Yeah. Right. And that's got nothing to do with sex at all.
Right. On Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday night, June 20th, on 2023, we have a special guest that's going to be with us for the CCTA meeting, which will be downtown New Bern, Stanley Hall Ballroom. Director of the Civitas Center for Public Integrity, we're going to have Dr. Andy Jackson from the John Locke Foundation. He has primarily driven his focus towards government compliance with the law and best practices, particularly regarding election policy and law. So this is going to be pretty exciting to come and hear. If you can make it, please join us. It will be 7 o'clock at the Stanley Hall Ballroom. He researches and writes on public and election integrity, conducts election analysis, and presents election-related data. He holds a PhD in political science from the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. He's a fantastic speaker. I think he really knows what he's getting into here. But it will be, again, this coming Tuesday, June 20th, 2023. Don't make it 2024. Come this coming Tuesday. Andy Jackson will be our guest speaker for our meeting here. Again, downtown Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern.
And admission is free.
Admission is free. I think his topics will be the way ahead for voter ID in North Carolina. And he's going to add a little bit of something to it concerning redistricting and felon disenfranchisement.
Oh, excellent. Diane?
We had Mr. Jackson at our Eastern North Carolina Tea Party as a speaker this past year. Great speaker. You don't want to miss him.
Very good. Well, folks, again, thank you for staying with us and listening to our ramblings. And hopefully you've learned something. And we ask you to go out and become active, Lord. Become active in what your beliefs are. Stand strong for your beliefs. We also show this CCTA wake-up call is on 107.1 at 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, 11 a.m. on Sundays, and 8 p.m. on Sundays, and also available on the CC Taxpayers website. You have a wonderful day.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.